Hello, this is Joshua Mack in A Few Minutes with the Puritan. We are reading through Richard Sibbes' book on Philippians chapter 3, where he is helping us think really about what Paul has to say about what it means to be a true Christian as opposed to someone who's just religious, which of course is a pretty good question. What's the difference between just going to church and looking like a Christian and actually being a Christian? And so far, Paul and Richard Sibbes, as he explains Paul, is telling us that a false Christian, just a religious person, is focused on the externals, whereas a true Christian is someone who worships God from the heart. And the last little section of Philippians 3 that he's looked at was the part where Paul says we are people who glory in Christ. And then the second half of that is what he's going to look at now. We are people who have no confidence in the flesh, zero. And he says these words are in truth included in the former. Obviously, glorying in Christ means putting no confidence in the flesh. But the apostle notes this as a plain demonstration and evidence of the glorying in Christ. You want to see a person who's glorying in Christ? Well, he's a person who's not putting confidence in the flesh. It's all one, as if he said, what a man trusts to, he glories in, and what he glories in, he trusts to and is confident of. So that's a great insight. You show me what you trust, I'll show you what you glory in. I look at what you glory in, now I know what you trust. By flesh is meant outward things, as prerogatives, privileges, actions of a man's own doing, and especially the aim he aims at circumcision, which he calls outward and that of the flesh, Romans 2:28. So as the observation that we may gather is that confidence in Christ takes away confidence in outward things. The reason is, if Christ be all sufficient, what need is there of any outward thing to put confidence in? For these are two opposite things, and one overthrows the other. The more you trust in Christ, the less you will put your confidence in externals. That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? A Christian is somebody who's confident, but he's not confident in the same things that everybody else is confident in. That's not where he's getting his confidence from. It's not from all the stuff, the external stuff that the world tells you to put your confidence in. It's in Christ. Now here's the doctrine. The second instruction is that naturally men have confidence in outward things. For having not hearts filled with grace, they relish not Christ, but fly to ceremonious outward actions as their refuge. This is just the way men roll unless their heart's been changed. Nay, in the church, till we be converted, if we go to church, unless there's been a conversion, we naturally fly to outward fleshly confidence. We have the word taught to us. We come to hear it twice on the Lord's day. Wouldn't that be great? Alas, what is this? If thou be not transformed and inwardly and outwardly conformed in obedience, who cares if your heart's not changed? Hast thou the sacraments? Does thou uncover thy head or bow the knee? You really look like you are a religious person. These are good and they seem fair, but where's the heart? Where's the heart? How's that prepared? Hast thou an earnest desire to leave off the course of sinning? And dost thou resolve hereafter to amend thy life? Great. You're doing all this outward stuff, but show me your heart. Oh, here is the hard spiritual work. So in outward fasting and abstinence, it's an easy matter. The Pharisees did it often. But this is the fast that God has commanded, to loose the bands of wickedness, to fast from sin. The suffering of flesh, if it be separated from spiritual use and alms, they profit nothing. All Paul's prerogatives, which were many, yet they were in his account but dross and dung in comparison of Christ. Most men are like Ephraim, Hosea 10:11, as heifers who serve to tread out corn and to plow. Ephraim loved to tread corn where he might eat his bellyful, for by the law of Moses, the mouth of an ox that treadeth out the corn was not to be muzzled. Men, they are delighted in the performance of slight duties, but to put their neck under the yoke to plow, it's hard work. Who can bear it? So the ceremonial stuff, the external religious stuff, he's saying that's the easy stuff. And a lot of men are just happy to do the easy stuff because they get something from it right now, respect, whatever. But it's actually this heart work of loving Christ, of trusting Christ, of focusing on Christ that people, unconverted people, definitely don't want to work. But somebody's going to say, hey, are you saying we shouldn't do the outward stuff? He says, we may consider religious duties two ways. First, as their outward means to salvation, for so they are. Secondly, as they are expressions of inward truth. And so out of a sincere, entire affection we bear to them, and out of a desire to be wrought upon by them, we do them. Thus they're commanded that use them. But let them want but an inch of this. All is abominable. All is flesh. So we could look at what we do. Go to church, publicly read the Bible, sing at church, all the stuff that we do. Take communion. Obviously, this is a way that God shows his grace to people. But that they're not just that. They're also, we're doing them as a way of reflecting what's in our hearts. And if our hearts don't match the outside, then that's scary. The Jews, they boasted in the name of holy people, in their law, in the temple, in the Holy Land. They had all kinds of boasts. Yet for all these, says God, you shall go into captivity. Like they, remember this is in Jeremiah, they're like, the temple, the temple, the temple. And Jeremiah's like, what? But what are you doing in the temple? You think this external thing is going to keep you from experiencing God's judgment? No. Why do men love the external stuff so much? And why do they find so much confidence in it? He says, one, outward things are easy, and men cannot bend themselves to perform the hard matters of the law. So we'd rather, you know, do this outward thing than actually submit to Christ. Secondly, they are glorious, and men desire to be observed. You look at the Pharisees in the Gospels, man, they worked hard. And you're like, if people work this hard, why wouldn't they just be so excited when Jesus came? It's because it wasn't about God, what they were doing. It was about using religion to exalt themselves, which is not really different than what any unbeliever does who's not religious. They're using whatever to exalt themselves. Thirdly, men have a foolish conceit that God is delighted with the outward act when the inward sincerity is wanting. So there's just kind of a way people are easily fooled. Like they almost think they can fool God, right? Like as long as I pretend, he's going to be happy, and he sees it all. He sees your inside as well as he sees your outside. Fourthly, men don't know themselves. They don't see their hearts, and they don't have a sense of their own unworthiness and Christ's worthiness. So there's no way you'd be satisfied with just, you could be satisfied with covering yourself with external religious duties and thinking, hey, you know, this must really be great to God, if you could see how beautiful Jesus was and what really was going on in your heart. It would be like thinking that a spider's web could stop a rock that's falling. Of course, our external duties without a change of heart and without forgiveness of sin, without Christ's work on our behalf, that's not going to stop the wrath of God. We deserve it. And so, fifthly, he says, God follows such with prosperity in this world. Thereby, they think God's well pleased with them till the hour of death come, and then they find all's empty. A lot of times, this is, I guess, the disadvantage of prosperity often. Their life is easy, and so they're not really thinking. They're just like, well, God must love me because my life is easy. He must be satisfied. And then they die, and they find out, wow, I was wrong. So, how do we know whether we're putting confidence in our flesh or not? And he says, I answer, where this fleshly confidence is, there is bitterness of spirit against sincerity. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, sat in Moses' chair, yet who more opposed Christ than they? Nay, they wholly and only in their whole course sought to persecute him and made it their trade. So that's a good question. Like, how do I respond when I see true Christianity in front of me? Do I get jealous? Do I start to like criticize? Who do they think they are? When I hear the gospel preached, does it upset me? Do I not like being convicted of sin? That's not a good sign, right? And then secondly, he says, where this fleshly confidence is, there's also a secret blessing of ourselves in our performance of good duties without humiliation for our defects. Hypocrites think that God is beholden to them and therefore do bless themselves in the deed done. And so, yeah, wherever there, we know not to be like, hey, I'm awesome to everybody else. But when we do what we do, is there a sense of like, man, I need Jesus. Teach a Bible study. Oh, I need Jesus. Sing at church. Oh man, I wish I could give Jesus more. The person who's trusting in themselves is just like, man, I'm kind of doing great and God should be happy that I'm here. We want to evaluate ourselves and repent where we need to repent of just trusting in our works, because true Christians are people who glory in Christ alone and have no confidence in the flesh. How about you?